Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting on 860 AM radio, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. As I mention each week, go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in on 860. If they live at a distance, ask them to log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a very, very interesting week. And joining me today is Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, East Coast Vice President of SCORE. We'll be looking forward to hopefully hearing from Rich Logis, who's in transit right now. He is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, always honored to be with you. And I first want to say thank you to the many people that I meet in my travels who tell me they listen to the broadcast, email it around to friends, listen on the internet. I mean, I really like what I see and what I hear. Well, first of all, I hope that all of you had a very enjoyable Thanksgiving celebration. All of us in the Blihash and Rott family certainly had a great dinner and a lot of great conversations. On Black Friday and on Small Business Saturday, I was out talking with friends to people in the marketplace to see how they feel about the employment market and if they're looking at labels. I did ask them about the label situation. Most of the people are very observant now. They're looking at everything to see what is really going on. And I got some very interesting responses, which I'll continue to use on my Saturday radio weekly commentaries, which so many of you receive. And yes, Larkin, Mark, and Rich, and Henry, I did give out a lot of American Workers Radio flyers and promos for National Small Business Weekend, which, by the way, is this weekend coming up and every first full weekend of every month. I'd like to say thank you also before I go to our panel. I'd like to say thank you to everyone that supported November as American Made Month. The proclamation for this year is up on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And I'm pleased to say that Councilman Alan Dom of Philadelphia has already started on declaring certain things happening in Philadelphia for next November. So we're getting people to prepare way in advance. And as time goes on, and we're going to see some very good things happening. But do check out all of the information on the front page, all of the links, and you'll see Mark Andel's picture up there too. Click on that or click on the Made in America store and do your best to support him during this holiday season and every day of the year, because he is a special person who has a special agenda, a man who has rose from the ashes, so to speak, after having a bad experience. And a lot of people are very proud the way you conduct yourself, Mark. And I hope that more and more people will be able to follow your example in the future. I also, before I go to the panel, want to say that I asked people about the job market. And people said, well, I have to tell you, my salary has been flat and the cost of everything around me continues to go up. So I'm really cutting back on my holiday shopping year after year. Many told me that they were mainly looking around in the malls and all because they want the income that they have from one full-time job or two part-time jobs to be used wisely. I really love talking to people, and they are becoming more open now than I've seen in a long, long time. But the bottom line is, the overall message is that people want jobs, not government handouts or government telling business owners how to run their business, putting all these regulations on them, which is stopping them from really enjoying the time to operate their business and employ people. So with that in mind, I want to say one last thing. I want to thank Mark, Rich, Larkin, who are weekly presenters during our broadcast free of charge. Your donation of time, your ideas, is very much appreciated by people. And I hear the reaction of people about different people on the radio, Rich and Larkin and Mark. And that's really good to hear, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to promote a positive message and unite people for the good of America. I'm going to begin today with Mark. How was your holiday, and what have you seen?
Very good, Mike. Hello again, Mike, and Henry and Larkin. Great Thanksgiving, by the way. Jackie did an unbelievable meal. I gained weight. I was telling Henry, and I had three stops, so definitely gained some weight on Thanksgiving. Great time for family and friends. So I think I hope our listeners and everybody enjoyed that special holiday it is. But, Mike, a lot going on. As you know, Black Friday started last Friday, and it's a 30-day run this year. A lot of people don't know. There's 30 days from Black Friday right to Christmas Eve. And it is, and we touched on this, Mike, but it is the retail time of year to get them in black. And really, you wait all year because the calendar tells people when to shop, really, because it's the holiday season. And, it's so big to buy Made in America products. Vote with your dollar, make a difference with your dollar. And it's where every person, every listener, every, American can really make a difference and think of their small business. And I'd like to, hats off to American Express for doing that Small Business Saturday, because watching the football games on Thanksgiving and everything, they really promote it well. They've stuck to it. You have, Mike, too, even with your Buy American month of November. It's just awesome to see how far we've come in 6 years and all we're doing. But, again, that 30-day run, we had a great weekend. The six stores we have open, we had closed our Niagara Falls store on the second floor for the year because it's seasonal. But our six stores did wonderful, and so many people coming back thanking us for what we're doing. And a young couple came in and spent a considerable amount and said 90% of our Christmas shopping is done Saturday. And it kind of blew us away, where this younger couple in their 20s said, no, we want to make it a Made in America Christmas, and thank you for what you guys are doing.
Wonderful, Mark, and that's what I'm hearing from everybody. I have to say that many supplies are in short supply with Made in America labels, but yes, people are just walking away and saying, well, maybe I'll just give money this year or something. I'm not going to kill myself dragging all this stuff and then get home and see that it's not Made in America. And people are just really livid. I did also speak about the presidential campaign very briefly, and I will say this in two sentences. Most of the people I talked want to see good things happen in the new year, and they want the new president to push jobs so that America can move forward. And I think this is the first time ever in my life, probably Larkin too, and Rich can say that, and Henry, and also Mark, this is the first time we will see people holding a president accountable. Many people said to me, because he's not a politician, he doesn't owe up to anybody, he better get after the House and Senate to agree with a lot of the things to help Americans and not waste any more time. Larkin, how was your holiday, and what do you think of what we're talking about today?
Well, good morning, Michael and Mark. I understand Rich is going to join us later. Henry, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. There were exchange of emails, so we all got a chance to tell each other how thankful we are for how hard we worked at this this initiative of Made in America. I had the whole fam damly in on the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And they all went to a place called Crescent Beach, but rented the house, and I had all 17 of them jammed in the house. We celebrated Thanksgiving on Saturday we watched football and belched a lot on Sunday, and they all flew home on Monday and celebrated Thanksgiving with their families, with their outlaws, on actual Thanksgiving Day. I find that works out well because there are no, well, this year's our turn to go to you know, East Jibip. We can't come to Florida. I pick a weekend that they all can make it, which is generally the weekend before Thanksgiving, and I get 100% attendance. They're threatened with a loss of position in my will if they don't show. So I usually have pretty good attendance. Hey, listen, what you were talking about, Mike, you know, this election was more than voting against something. It was more voting against something than it was voting for something. Americans voted against the establishment, against the country's changing culture, against the dysfunctional Washington, against the privileged few that most reside in Washington, against Hillary Clinton, and yes, many of them voted, as we all know, against Donald Trump. But the Republican Party has no excuse for failure this time around. I've never quite personally seen the table set this completely for the GOP. The GOP is in charge of both executive and legislative branches in Washington, and they dominate in states like they never have before. I think the count is 33 out of 50 states have Republican governors. They have a power to set the agenda. They have a responsibility to govern, not merely on behalf of the voters who supported President-elect Trump, but for you know, all Americans. You know, the federal government has become too unwieldy, too powerful, too distant, precisely the problem that the Constitution was designed to avoid. The breakdown of our constitutional system isn't a theoretical discussion. It affects every American in real ways. A Republican's job this cycle is to make a compelling case for change and then help citizens regain the power they should have over their own lines, their own lives, and their own bottom line. The GOP should use its power in Congress and in state capitals to test ideas, to transform education. We talk about it all the time. Limit burdensome regulations, which tie down small businesses. Accelerate innovation and unleash our economy. Republicans should stand behind emerging technologies that are helping people customize their lives in new and dramatic ways. This is the GOP's chance to contrast their approach, which trusts people to make good choices. It trusts people to make their own choices. It trusts people to hold themselves responsible for their own actions. With the failed Democratic and progressive top-down approach from the Democratic Party, which prefers government to decide almost everything. So Republicans can't be expected to be trusted unless they help restore the American leadership in the world. We must act with clarity, consistency, and resolve. We must protect and reassure our friends and allies. We should remain hopeful that as Mr. Trump assumes the role of commander-in-chief, he will become or he'll come to understand and appreciate how important it is for the U.S. to return to a foreign policy of peace through strength. Now, I think you could all tell that this isn't the regular Larkin speaking. A lot of that I read. That, believe it or not, was an editorial in the Wall Street Journal 2 days ago by Jeb Bush. By Jeb Bush. That's more clarity than I've heard out of a Bush in about 25 years. But I think he's pretty much hit the nail on the head. Small businesses are about to come into their heyday if the Republicans recognize what it's going to take to bring our economy back. You know, everybody in Washington, D.C. for the last couple of years has been jumping up and down at 2% growth in our GDP. And it's going to be 4 under Trump. And again, I have no reason, no hard evidence to support this. It's as much hope on my part as it is a statement of fact, but I think good days are ahead of us. I think this cultural change that we've gone through that dictates that everybody wins a trophy, that dictates a lack of personal responsibility, that says shame on us for asking somebody to register to vote. We ought to make it simple for them to vote. What kind of idiotic lack of personal responsibility is to say somebody doesn't have the chutzpah or the step to pass to get to the DMV to register to vote, or to get to a post office, or to get to the myriad of places in their own neighborhoods to register to vote? This kind of culture, this kind of progressive thinking is gone. It's under attack for the next 4 years. And I think the response from this attack is going to really, really set the table for small businesses.
You are absolutely right, Larkin. Everywhere I go, I've never seen business owners, and I've gone through a couple of holiday villages. Business owners feel very confident. Many of them feel that Donald Trump lit a candle of hope for the forgotten businesses, for Americans who want jobs, not excuses.
And Mike, I want to, you know, again, what you just hit on, I've never met so many business owners that have hope. You just hit on a major thing. And if businessmen have hope, or women, that hope gives them a chance to think about growing and breathing again. And, you know, I got a nice surprise, Mike and Larkin. I talked to Curtis Ellis yesterday. Mike, I wanted to tell you, he's doing great. They had a big, I congratulated him on the big win, President Donald Trump. And he's got some pictures coming for us of the night and the hour and the time. He was right with President-elect Trump. He wants the movie. He wants to do things with it. He likes everything we're about. I invited him back on the show, Mike. I hope you didn't mind.
Absolutely.
He's doing great. There's a lot going on, as you could imagine. And but they're talking about just what we're talking about. But it was he talked to me, Mike, just like me and you. He's right into this, a lot to this, but he's right on board. And boy, does he get it, Curtis Ellis. 25, 30 years he's believed in this. And his good friend Jack Davis, I had looked up in Buffalo. He's right in our area, and his first customer was Corning, and he invented what you call Gorilla Glass, and they use it on the front of the iPhone or different things. So his good friend is likes what we're doing, too, and has been at the store, too. And Larkin, you'd appreciate this. And it's just a good thing. So Curtis Ellis says hello. He will be back on our show. And, Mike, you know, we'll, if you want to reach out to us, set that up, it would be awesome. You know, talking about the present, how many things going on. I don't know how you feel with a meeting like with Mitt Romney and whatnot. One thing I think it shows, though, he's a business owner. He elects people that are qualified for the job. And his interview process is being shown. And it's very hard when you got family, friends, and just like I do, I have 70 employees, 18 family and friends. Very difficult. But I think Mr. Trump is really going through who's qualified for the job. And I think, and I don't know your opinion on that, and Larkin, I'd like to ask you first, you know, on meeting somebody like Mitt Romney, who was so against it, went out of the way, spent so much money to target and bring him down.
So that's a great point, Mark, and it's one that the pundits and the press have had a field day with. I just can't believe that they don't intend to let up and start reporting who, what, when, where, and why. But,
yes.
You know, Donald Trump's a businessman. Mitt Romney's a businessman. They're both bidding for a job to resurface the Tappan Zee Bridge in New York City. Well, Donald Trump is going to go to the Port Authority, and he's going to say, Mitt Romney will tell you he's going to put down an inch and a half, but if he puts down an inch, I'm a blue-nosed gopher. His people don't know hot asphalt from cold asphalt. They're all full of themselves. None of them work very hard, and he underpays and has illegal immigrants working for him. And Romney's going to turn around and say just as many despicable things. When it's all over with, somebody's going to win that bid. And a smart businessman turns to the one he was bidding against and goes and says, I need some help. I know you know what you're doing. What you've done and the position you are in life proves that you know what you're doing. So let's sit down and talk. Anybody that is so thin-skinned that they can't see their way past campaign rhetoric is just not somebody you want to spend a whole home a lot of time with. And I think Donald Trump has said, you know, the campaign was a campaign. I said some pretty crazy things. Other people said some pretty crazy things about me. But you know what? I won. I'm going to govern. I'm going to govern properly, and I'm going to get the best people available to do the job.
And quite you're right, Larkin.
Well said. And Rich is worried about his Christmas present from you, too, Larkin.
You know, I have to say this to you. I believe that all the people on that stage, or majority of the people on that stage, are going to have a place at the table in the new administration. And I really believe that because it's true. I mean, I've met Trump three times in my time. It hasn't been for 12 years, but he's always been a fair person. And he, several people I know have worked for him. And now people that I see and talk to in the little businesses are more complimentary than I ever thought they would be after such a brutal election. Right, you're so, right, Larkin. They all want to turn the page. People,
I want to give a kudo to Donald Trump, and I want to give it in the form of a minor complaint. I again was driving very early this morning, much earlier than I have to get up at my age, in order to deliver my 3.5 and 1.5 year old granddaughters to school this morning because their mother is out of town. And sure enough, I'm driving over there with my wife, and bam, here goes my phone. Ding, 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 all of these text messages coming in. And she said, you know what? I don't think Lo just ever sleeps. I don't think he ever goes to bed. And I picked up the phone, and I looked at it, and I went, Lo just didn't pick this fight. I said, who's – she says, who the heck is that? I said, it's Mark. He was responding to what I think is one of the most remarkable stories I've read in a 30-day period after any single presidential election. Donald Trump is celebrating coming to an agreement with the Carrier Corporation to keep two plants in Indianapolis open and to continue to employ 1,000 workers. Now, you got to be kidding me. This guy hasn't even been sworn in yet. And there is nobody on the Democratic side that would so much as sit down with Carrier and say a word to them. 4 weeks ago, I was in Rochester, New York. I drove my car because I got lost around Carrier Circle, which is a circle, literally a turnabout, just like they have in New Jersey, and nothing but big office buildings and plants around it, Carrier. And I said to somebody at the meeting that morning when I finally arrived at my spot, how many people were still up there working? And they said, about 160. I said, my God, they must each get their own floor. The heck with their own office. I mean, it's a ghost town. And he said, nah, Carrier's gone. There's some support people, some customer support, customer service support people here, but there's nothing else left. It's all gone. Just that one move, and it was a call from Donald Trump to Carrier. Nobody knows what he promised them. Who cares? 1,000 people in Indianapolis, Indiana know they're going to have a job.
But you're right, Larkin. I mean, he nailed it. But, you know, I've been to Rochester, of course, got a plant, a general welding plant there. But you talk about Xerox and Kodak, and, you know, that's huge to me that, like you said, before he even really took the job, he's not about himself. He went and he saved that company, just like Remington Arms in New York could be saved. And there's so many places. Let's save them before they leave and then talk about it. How could he help them? Who knows? But you got to keep them jobs. It's about livelihoods.
And you know, we talked about that once before. We said that nationally and even on a state level, we have no committees that go out and talk to businesses before they decide to leave. You remember the baby wear place on Spring Garden, Larkin. Nobody had gone to talk to them.
And Mike, I believe this is the president tweeting that he did this. this is right from the source.
Yeah, I also.
You know, when does that happen?
That's right.
Not very often. I'd like that to go away, too, by the way.
Yeah, That's the new wave, Larkin. See, I don't tweet. My mother, my sister's got a different name for that, but we pick on my nephews that do all that. But that's the seed of today's society. Though.
You know, guys, everywhere I went over the holiday, people told me, I feel there's a new sheriff going to Washington, one that doesn't need our tax money, so he should be able to direct all of his attention to issues that concern America. And I think
that's
worth
the dollar he's going to take, don't you?
I think a lot of those people he's looking to appoint are not going to take any money either, because the majority of them are very wealthy. The new president, of course, is not going to have a cakewalk when he goes to Washington, because you'll find people looking to knock him down every which way they can. But the main thing is, there is such a spirit of change everywhere I go. And by the way, let me just say this to Larkin and Mark, Rich, Henry, everybody listening. Some people wanted the election results to be different. And that's understandable, because certain people wanted certain people. But they've all accepted the way things turn out. I'd say 99% of them accepted the way it turned out. But now they're going to really demand attention from Mr. Trump, President-elect Trump, and results. It's not going to be. And by the way, people say to me, this is the first time in America's history, in a long time history, where a president-elect can ask questions and expect answers. And when he goes to Washington, he can do the same thing, and not only do it amongst the people he appoints, but also start asking from the members of the House and Senate who were elected to be the people part of our payroll. They're on our payroll from our tax dollars. He wants to know what they're going to do. And I can't agree more with it.
And I've got a question for Larkin. Larkin, you know, I believe there's leaders, followers, doers, and users. And, you know, Mr. Donald Trump's going to drain the swamp. You think you can turn users into doers? I mean, draining the swamp is tough.
You know what, Mark, you make a wonderful point. There's an outfit in Philadelphia, that a Pew Research, the Pew Research Center. A couple, 3 months ago, did this huge poll. Well, huge. I think there were 3,000 or 4,000 respondents, which to me doesn't make it too huge. But at any rate, nearly half of the people that responded to that poll compared with 50 years, when they were comparing 50 years ago, said life for people in America today is worse. You know, and of those who supported Donald Trump as president, 81%, I think it was, 81% thought life had gotten worse. But I think we have to be a little bit careful here and a little bit considerate of the times. When that poll was done, economists had a field day with what they called the errors of the respondents of the poll. By almost every objective measure, from that poll, an overwhelming majority of Americans are better off today. They really are, than they were in the 1960s and 1970s. Houses are bigger. They come with air conditioning and no having to repaint siding. Crime rates are lower. Air and water pollution is much reduced. It really is, no matter what the environmentalists want to yell. Medical conditions that constituted death, among them being AIDS, are now just annoyances anymore because we have the drugs to affect. 50 years ago, the telephone service for 1 in 4 households was what we used to call a party line, was shared by neighbors. Today, everybody carries a phone in their pocket with portable devices and 10,000 times more powerful than any computer that we've ever even thought about back in those days. Computers that guided Apollo 11 all the way up and back. So what can Donald Trump do? He really has got to strengthen our business. We are a consumer economy, and he's got to get the supply or the demand being supplied by the people who are consuming it is going to be the strongest economy for us. He's going to have to find the next big strike. I don't know what it is. I can't imagine. It probably has something to do with technology. But more than anything, for him to be successful, in my mind's eyes, he has got to emulate the last president that we had that hauled our butts through some pretty tough times, and that's Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan didn't invent anything. Heck, the dot-com was after Ronald Reagan. He pulled us through a struggling economy, and how did he do it? He smiled at everybody. He said it was going to be okay. He united the country. He got us all pulling in the right direction. He kind of abated all of the noise by putting his arm around the guy from Massachusetts, Tip O'Neill, and making friends with the Democrats and said, we're in this together. He was the great uniter. And Donald needs to put down the tweeter, his tweeting, get some 3 16-year-olds to follow him and then sort through what they want to tweet out and what they don't want to tweet out. But he needs to be the great uniter, and he needs to free up our economy so we can go out and get some stuff done.
Yes. You guys agree we need work horses, not show horses, right?
I mean, absolutely.
And, you know, we don't want the government to lead us. We want them to stand alongside of us. And, Larkin, you touched on, we want self-managed people. What am I looking for at General Welding and Made in America? Farm work ethic, workers, doers. And I want them to be self-managed. I want to guide them, but I don't want to have to do their job.
Yeah,
and
drag
that's what
them.
We want.
That's right. And that's very hard to find in this economy.
Absolutely.
Because you can't direct people to jobs. Everybody's hunting for some kind of benefit, but they're not hunting for a job. This is unfortunate. And Larkin, you said something very interesting. And I agree. Time and technology has changed the entire world and the way all of us individuals communicate. I really would like to see technology grow in America as it's grown overseas, so we can get 50% of the cell phones, computers, televisions, iron, toasters, and hundreds of other items back with a competitive label made in the USA.
And Mike, we're going to do it, you know, as long as we keep believing. But, you know, the speed that you talk about, I just went through with my management team where everybody here is a salesman. I said, we don't have one. But the speed, our customer wants extreme customer service when they want it, the way they want it. They're on their iPhone. They're not going home to look through a phone book for a plow part or a welding job or a Made in America part. What's that store carry? They're instant. So you got to be, and Larkin, you know, with the competitiveness of small business, you got to be sharp and fast, and it's all about speed right now.
Right. Larkin, what is the excuse for to American workers? Why aren't we making computers and cell phones and everything else here in the USA?
Well, there are a variety of reasons, but they all have this ugly stench to them, just like H-1B, the H-1B, what's it called, that where Disney got rid of
the
all
visas.
Their workers.
The visas.
H-1B or whatever they're called, visas. Everybody thought they were doing that for a good reason, but the main reason just has this ugly stench to it. But we really got ourselves into a position. You can't blame big business. You can't blame the employees. But we got it to a point that a guy pushing a broom through a Ford F-150 plant in Norfolk, Virginia, after 30 years, was making $68 an hour plus benefits.
Right, right.
And you can't compete at that. You just can't. If you want to make $68 an hour in my world, you do that by going out and advancing your education and becoming a chemical scientist or a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. I just don't understand. I mean, everybody has to be paid a fair wage, and I'm not denying that fact. But in order for us to get back into a competitive marketplace, we can't be paying our employees $40, $50, $60 an hour plus a 30% benefit burden. The economics aren't there.
You're absolutely
Rich, did you see the article I sent you on China? Did you get a chance to read the email I sent you? You know, stating how China is buying up American businesses, how they're on our, you know, the debt we owe China, and
yes,
how they devaluate the dollar. Did you guys see that?
I did see it.
Now,
yes, I
what's neat is, I'm General Welding and Fabricating, and if there was ABC Welding down the road, and if, you know, the government said I'm giving ABC Welding an extra 40 cents a dollar, you know, they're going to win my bids, right? So that's where a lot of people don't understand that devaluating of the dollar and how China's winning. There's a lot in that article that's scary for many, many different reasons, and it touches on what we do. We have to, Trump even saving Carrier, and there's so much we have to do and quickly, and kind of the people got to get educated too, and Mike, you can send that email around, just what's going on and how it's working. I think we got to keep on that in this program and understand how this, you know, foreign companies are coming onto our property and being more competitive than we are.
Well, there's also some, there's another part of the Carrier situation which people don't realize. Carrier also has an enormous amount of its business with the United States government. So when Trump gave them a call, he said, well, don't expect your business plans to continue with the United States government if you're going to take our jobs and move out of the USA. There are always companies, especially today, where they're bringing this stuff in from overseas. We're buying it up without looking at it. But the main problem is we have no competitive product to equal it to. If we went for a toaster, we could search day and night. There's no toaster in the store. So if you want a toaster, you have to settle for what is there. Our point on this broadcast is to get everything 50-50. When I talk to people about the 50-50 balance, they say, that's the best idea you guys came up with. They equal, have everything on the shelf. You, the American people, decide what you want to pick up and buy.
Yeah, I had, you know, I had a known newscaster come in yesterday, and we did a little segment, a four-minute segment on the new store and everything. He wasn't up here 3-4 years, and Larkin, you've seen the new building, and Mike, you've seen pictures, and you know, he came in and he was blown away. He said, "Oh my God, I never thought you'd make it this far." And I said, "Well, we got 7,000 products," and he couldn't believe. He goes, "You're really creating jobs with what you're doing." I said, "Yeah, you know, first we talked about it, now we're doing it." I said, "We're stressing out our vendors," and Larkin, you've talked about the supply chain and whatnot. What's really cool with what we're doing, having these stores and stores and got distribution wholesale, we're causing our vendors some fits now. They got to hire, they got to buy automated equipment, they got to come up with ways. It's working, so it's awesome. He hasn't seen us in 3 years, but he was blown away by how far we've came, and that's just a little example of how buying Made in America product works.
Absolutely. And Mark, I'm just going to add one thing to that. If you remember last week, I mentioned about being interviewed by the four young people from China, the students. In the conversation, something else very, very interesting was said to me. Now, I told you they had to give in their phones from on the Chinese network to get an iPhone on the American standard when they came. But more important, they told me that, yes, their people are very skilled making all the televisions and cell phones, but most of them don't have the money to buy those products. They're sending them all to the United States to be sold to us. My point is, we have to get 50% of those televisions, cell phones. I'm still, Larkin, I'm still using that same cell phone because it is made in Texas. And now I have not been down on that an inch. Everybody who looks down when I grab the phone, they say, "Oh, I can't believe you still are using it." I said, "Yep, until I get something with at least 50-50 components, I will just hold on to this one, and I got four more in a box ready to go in case this one goes."
It's hard to carry a car battery around with you, isn't it, Mike?
I was going to say, let's call a spade a spade here. Don't call an old phone made in Texas. Call it what it is. You're still carrying a flip phone.
Flippy. You know what? Now, here's a challenge that we can do. Just like I ask our people, help our message move forward. When you go out shopping, talk to the salespeople, call the manager over, take an extra minute. You have no idea the impression it leaves. I'm giving a challenge to the new administration, all of our state governors, the commerce directors in the states and the city, to start finding ways to bring some of those products back. Larkin, Philadelphia was a place that made, can't remember the names, but I see them still hanging on historic signs, Philco. They made RCA. They made other. They made other televisions in Philadelphia, in the city of Philadelphia. We had 440,000 manufacturing jobs. We're now reduced to 23,000.
And Mike, you know, on that iPhone, I remember watching on Dave Cook and Apple, the iPhone had about $200 plus profit in it. And my point, even that Jack Davis at Curtis Ellis knows, he makes that Gorilla Glass. Why can't they give up a little of the profit for their country, you know, when you made the billions in that? So, you know, say, just saying the phone, if it costs $50 more per phone or $100, you're still making $100. You know, and it is business, but I think a lot of that has got to take place, too. You've got to have patriotic values and support the country you live in. I talk to Chinese, Japanese. It's common sense to them to support the country they live in.
Oh, you are right. Absolutely. I'll tell you.
We lost common sense. Common sense ain't common no more, but still.
I'll tell you what, I think you couple that with the idea that there's a new modus operandi in the free enterprise world, and that is the employees become stockholders, shareholders, and owners of the companies that they work for. And they share and legitimately share in the success that is created by their good, solid work. And I think we need to get there. And I think that will, in large part, accelerate
it's any growth. It's funny, Larkin, you touch on that, because Kinney drugstore chain that I turned, you know, tied to Store and Store, and with their 3,400 employees owned, each employee, really? No matter what position, gets the same check at the one time a year. And that's kind of neat. They all take pride in ownership, and that's a privately owned company. It says a lot about the publicly traded company, because they're slaves to the shareholders. That's where we lost a lot of loyalty. But if your home is your country and you eventually price your job out of your country, you've lost your home. So, I mean, there's a lot there.
You know, Larkin, there was something else we discussed at the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and that is people are saying about the $1 trillion in savings that could come about if we looked at some of the programs in the government that are overpaid, over salaries, the benefits that people are getting, travel benefits and everything. You could save $1 trillion right there. And also, if you brought the trillions of dollars from overseas home back to America, we'd have that $1 trillion to fix the bridges and the roads and all the other public areas that need to be replaced.
Exactly, Mike. Yep.
We have never had anybody say those kinds of things to the people. But, you know, I'm listening to the people now, people that were asleep for years have woken up. And they won action.
Do you think them courier plant people that Mr. Donald Trump saved trust Mr. Donald Trump now?
I would say yes. I would say they
have no trust, and I think it's the start of a building block for trust.
Well, I think it's the first step, and we have to move step by step, inch by inch. Why can't Macs be made back in the USA? Why can't we have all Hewlett-Packard products made in the USA? Why not? That's the problem.
Well,
I was out recently.
Logistically, it makes sense.
I was out recently looking because I need to replace a computer. And everywhere I go, it's foreign made. Hewlett Packard, Henry and I were looking, and they are available. The foreign made is 440. The American made is 490.
Yeah. And Mike, if you called for help, you wouldn't talk to a guy in India. He said, I'll be right over.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's another thing. When I was out, this was a really good suggestion. They hired 16,500 Internal Revenue agents to administer the Affordable Care Act, now called Obamacare. I think those people, that 16,500 people, should be placed back into the workforce, get them some jobs, and that'll save the government money as well.
Yeah, put them at a paper mill so they can make back some of the paper they.
Yes, something's got to be done. We're in a new revolution. I'm very cheered up after talking to the people in my travels, knowing that everybody, there's not people holding anger or whatever. They want to see something changed. those that were hesitant and they voted this way or they voted for Stein or wrote in Bernie or Hillary or whatever, are now saying, no, we have to get behind the man who is the person that we have now as the president, and let's move forward.
You know, and, you know, the millions of families who moved from, sagging double-deckers and Trinities and banks of homes in the inner city in the worn-out cities to single-family homes in the suburbs with dogs in the yards and cars in the garage don't need to be convinced that they're better off if you can find somebody, and it's usually somebody that's moved from South Philadelphia to South Jersey. And a lot of those achievements, a lot of those results were because the government had a policy or a program that falsely supported the economy. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't try to pull the ox out of the ditch with programs like that to me are absolutely not sustainable. They're just not sustainable. The government can't continually support them. And then if you like the way these programs run, then you must love the post office. You must love Medicare. You must think Social Security is great, where the government went and borrowed money that belonged to us to use in various other and sundry things that they were trying to support. You'll love the way we manage our own cash. It's the craziest thing in the world.
Do you guys think when they come up with something and they're going to make mistakes, why can't the administrations admit at one point after a year or so, they have a time limit, it's not working, and go back to the drawing board? They're going to have to do that instead of running it for 8 years.
You're right, Mark. The sad thing is, we talked about this a number of times. Over the last years, we cannot point to any particular senator or House member that's in charge of the jobs initiative in the USA. I've asked people on all occasions, do you know of anybody? The answer is no, I don't. That's a very unfortunate thing, because they're all in these commerce departments and all, but nobody knows how to lead. Everybody just wants to sit back and be given benefits and accept their paycheck and not do their job. And as a result of that, America's in $20 trillion worth of debt. We have millions of young people out of jobs, millions of young people that could have hands-on skills from the school that they attended for 4 years. They have nothing. And so maybe we're going to see some changes. Change is sometimes very hard to accept, but you have to go through pain. And it's Rome wasn't built in a day. I will give everybody their chance to build Rome one brick at a time. Do you agree with that, Larkin?
Absolutely. And I heard this morning some snippets on a radio station as I was coming back, bringing the school bus back from taking my granddaughters to school. And it was a progressive pundit on CNN who said, listen, there's an elephant in the room, and we refuse to address that. The reason that Donald Trump won is because of the policies of this country that prohibit qualified voters from going to the polls and voting. And I thought, excuse me? I've heard some pretty crazy excuses.
They're digging.
Of why people, it's like the other day they said, our last Islamic Terrorism Act, which I think we are going to start calling it what it is. This guy at Ohio State said that the people around him made him uncomfortable when he was trying to pray. And in their religion, they get on their knees and they bow down, and it's quite an active process. Yeah. And I remember when I was listening to that, I thought, you know what? That's kind of the same way I reacted the first time I was walking down the streets of Pittsburgh 20 years ago and saw a girl walking towards me with lime green hair. And I stared at her. I almost ran into a parking meter and hurt myself.
Yeah. Well, if you're driving by the Made in America store and you see the flags outside and they bother you, find a different way to drive your car. Go, find a different way because I'm not taking my flag down. But anyways, we'll leave that one alone. I love the American flag, and I love every veteran that gave us that flag.
Yeah. So you know, eventually I walk down the street now in St. Augustine, and I see people with orange hair and green hair and purple hair and red, you know, fire engine red hair. And I don't even look at them a second time because I'm used to it. But when I first was you know, recognized this trend or this what people, it kind of, I looked at them and said, what the heck, you know, why is her hair lime green? I never said anything to her. I never berated her. And so the best of the police department's knowledge in Ohio State, nobody ever said anything to this Islamic terrorist. Nobody did anything physical to him. So he decided to practice a little Sharia law and see if he could take out 10 or 12 Americans just because he felt uncomfortable. And yet we have a progressive ring to some of the things we do in this country that make excuses for this guy.
And hats off to the police officer that did his job that day.
Oh, and dropped him like a bad habit. Dropped him right on the spot. And you know what? You drive a car like a weapon into a crowd of people, and I've got a gun, you're going out the same way.
You come out with a butcher knife, and it's horrific for the families. Just, but he did his job that day, and that should be talked about.
Yeah, yeah. Gentlemen, I want to take a moment to say thank you to all of our sponsors. As you know, our network is on 7 days a week, so I will acknowledge all of our broadcasters, sponsors during the next few days and especially this coming Saturday. But as you're out shopping during the holiday season, I'm asking all of you to make the balance of the month of December a real home run for your local businesses. Many of them are struggling. These have been some hard times, hopefully better days in the future. Many people, many of you, did some of your holiday shopping already during the Thanksgiving holiday. You went out on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. Now you're being asked to focus whatever you're going to be doing for the rest of your holiday shopping at your local businesses. Give them a try if you haven't already been supporting them on a regular basis. They really need you. And I want to also tell you that as more businesses are promoting First Friday specials, this is really great to get people out shopping. It's paycheck day and all that. First Friday specials and also National Small Business Weekend. More and more people are becoming involved with that. And that's always the first weekend of every month, which is this weekend coming up for the month of December. Kindly, it's go out and help your small businesses. It's bringing a lot of attention to the Buy American Made campaign and efforts to get more American made products back in circulation and in stores across the USA. And also, just as Mark does and Larkin and Richard and I and everybody else, we ask that you take a minute or two and let the store managers know your feelings, because then they can go to their merchandisers and say, you know, I'm getting a lot of pressure from the people who come here. They are my customers. I want to make sure that I have more of a reasonable supply of products. And I have to tell you, in speaking with people, we in this part of the country, the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York area, we're overwhelmed with foreign products, but many parts of the country have a lot more American-made items. I don't know why we're not getting them up this way, but I think things are going to be changing in the future. So make sure you go out of your way. American workers need you. America's businesses need you. And America's economy. And remember one more thing. As you go out to support your local businesses, 60 plus million Americans are being employed by those businesses across America. And 70% of every dollar that you spend in your local community goes for the operation of that store, paying local people and also putting money into the local economy through taxes and everything else. The other 30% or so goes to get products and stock the products and things like that. Please do go out and support your local businesses. Remember, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the December edition of National Small Business Weekend. And I'm going to ask Larkin for some closing remarks.
Well, you've about hit on it as far as I'm concerned, Michael. Small businesses are the engine of our economy. It's so imperative that we go out and support them to the best of our ability. Turn your back on a big boxer and walk into a neighborhood hardware store and see if you don't get the attention of the individual running that store, and if they don't go way out of their way to make sure that they help you with whatever it is you need. Support our small businesses, please. They appreciate it. Our economy appreciates it. Our future appreciates it. And our up-and-coming generations appreciate it.
And as you're going out, make sure you look at the labels to see where the products were made. I see that most people are very observant now. Mark, how would you like to send off the program today to your friends who are part of our listeners?
Yeah, I just think it was a great show, guys. Point on. We're getting positive and staying focused. Again, it's the 11th month of the year ending today. Who would think? We're entering December tomorrow, 2016. I think their listeners, they know the importance of buying Made in America. Mike, you say it best, ask. And you can make change. And Larkin, just a great show. Go out, buy Made in America. This December is the most important part of the year for retailers and small business.
And you know, most people, the merchandisers, don't like campaigns like ours because they want to go with products that bring them the biggest dollar in their pocket. Maybe you're not getting that at the cash register. You're paying the same price as if it was made here in the USA. But by supporting your local businesses and telling the owners that you're shopping there because you're asking them to feature more American-made stuff, they have the opportunity to speak more with their merchandisers than big stores do that are buying by the hundreds of millions at one swoop of the eye. So please do shop local. Remember, Small Business Weekend is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And make sure you ask your family and friends to check out our internet site, where they'll find many links devoted to supporting American workers. And also, they'll be able to find Mark Andel and the Made in America store. Help Mark out. He's an unbelievable guy. He's made such a difference in the way many people are thinking and feeling. Mark, congratulations. We appreciate and love you much.
Thank you very much, guys. And Larkin, I'm going to send you a snowball down in Florida. I'm going to try to get that down to you.
Until
you can play with your grandchildren with that snowball. I'll get it.
Okay, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, when I'll be with you again with our panel. Have a very wonderful weekend. Make sure you go out and support your local small businesses. Dovidenia.